I'm with John Wynne Hopkins, the former chairman of the Llanelli Community Heritage. John, we're seeing some incredible scenes across the UK, people burning the Union Jack at the cenotaph, pulling down monuments across the country that depict people that, albeit may have had some involvement with the slavery, ministers, people, governors that were working abroad. These were very different times, a very different Britain. We know Britannia ruled the waves. We know we had colonized countries across the world. Is this history coming back to bite them on the bottom, for a better word? Is it right? Is it proper that we should see these things happening, that people should, this mob almost is going across the country demanding the pulling down of anything that symbolizes this history that links some of these people to slavery?
I'm looking at it, Alan. What I see is a general trend to destroy all forms of history, really, to do with us. And that's what it's coming down to. And it smacks of what happened in Russia, China, Germany, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. When this first incident happened, don't forget this has happened in the past. And unfortunately, people are not learning from these incidents. Immediately, we get so-called peaceful demonstrations. I had this argument recently with a certain person and say, it doesn't end up in peaceful demonstration. If it was peaceful demonstration, it's fair enough. But what happens, you have killings, people being injured, and we know this has happened in America, that a shop owner has been killed, numerous shop owners have been injured. This is what's making me very angry at the moment.
It's almost like the thing they're fighting against, the thing they're protesting against, is the very thing they're doing. The mob rule, the lynching,
it's exactly what they are doing themselves. Mm. Yeah. And as an ex-soldier, I've seen all this before, and I've seen people die, innocents, being slaughtered by terrorists, and a mob, an unruly mob like this, looting and attacking people, is horrendous, and that's why I am so angry about it at the moment.
So do you think maybe that the solution would be to have had a discussion, a debate around that, and maybe then presented the facts, and then if need be, let's just say the monument in Bristol, that something was put on there, like you've got your blue plaque, something else that actually depicts what the historic origins of this statue were, what this man or woman did particularly, and put the true facts, because I know you've put something on Facebook by somebody about Sir Thomas Picton, for instance, and he was married to somebody of mixed race, and yes, he was.
It just shows you that the people involved in this do not even know what Thomas Picton has done. Mm. He was not a slave owner, in the sense of these slave estates and whatever else. Yes, he actually was in the West Indies, but he was a man of his time. But the fact that he even married a mulatto woman, you say, surely does that make him a sister, and a slave owner? This man, he was a general in Wellington's army in the Peninsular War. Okay, we're talking, a war which freed Europe from France, because Napoleon at the time was taking on Europe and taking Europe effectively. We, Britain, as always, it seems to be Britain that moves in and brings freedom back to these countries, right? And I just find it devastating that people can consider, this has happened a number of times, and I've actually had news now that individuals involved in this are archaeologists themselves. Mm. So that, what does that tell you? What I believe then, that they have left leanings or ideas or something that is just anti everything that this country is. I honestly believe these things should stay in place. They should teach you the history, and they should learn the history.
Yeah, in a way, what you're saying is the very fact that they are there is a landmark, a signifier, a marker, a beacon, really. And if you want that history, you can read about it. But then some people would say, well, okay, that's okay. Thomas Picton was there, and or the chap in Bristol was there with their involvement. Why do we need those, John? I mean, we know historically that they were probably put there at the behest of the almost the family themselves or the people themselves, and paid for most of the time by themselves as well.
In the case of Thomas Picton, right, the people of Wales paid for that monument in Carmarthen, because there are certain people who want to remove that monument, right? Now, the people of Wales, Carmarthen, and the surrounding area paid for that, and it was put in place.
They own it, essentially.
Effectively, the people of Wales own it. Mm. So if any decision is made, they must put the question to the British people, to the Welsh people. Because it was the Welsh people. And to me, that was a decision made a long time ago.
Yeah.
And this man served his country and served Europe. And in effect, when you think about it, the changes that came about from the Battle of Waterloo reformed Europe and inadvertently actually became... Because don't forget, Britain had abolished slavery in 1807. All right? Now, with this change in Europe, slavery was gradually then starting to be abolished in that part of Europe, which was very gradual. Don't forget, the Portuguese and other nations were still slaving at this stage, whereas we had abolished it in the 1807.
Why do you think that they're doing it? You think this is politically motivated? We look at this George Floyd incident in the USA, where some people are saying, look, this guy was a convicted criminal. He wasn't a particularly nice man. His own brother asked the people who were protesting, what the hell are you doing here? You know, why are you ruining our own neighborhood here when you're doing this? Are these people just completely ignorant of facts? Are they ill-informed? Are they motivated by mob rule, by violence, by social media influence, or are they right? Are they people who genuinely have a concern, a cause, and have a right almost to do this?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ifs and buts in this, isn't there? I would say the incident in question was a very difficult situation for the police themselves. And of course, unfortunately, this man apparently died of a heart attack. Not, as they said, of loss of breath, all right? He died of a heart attack because he was on drugs, apparently. This is what I have managed to find out. And he had a big criminal record, something like 7 offences. And in one case, he apparently broken into a pregnant woman's house and they had robbed her. And I think she'd been badly beaten. And he had gone to prison for a number of years for that. And he spent a lot of time in prison because of drugs offences. And apparently that day when he was taken, I'm not condoning what actually happened, because you've got to be very careful. It is difficult for the police to arrest somebody who resists arrest. But they are claiming he did nothing. Why did he resist arrest? That's always my question. Why did he resist if he had done nothing wrong? But anyway.
There's a lot of people who would say, looking at that as well, a lot of the stuff, I know the BBC do a lot of fact-checking, we do a lot of fact-checking, a lot of stuff that had appeared online, sort of promoting the police brutality and what had happened to George Floyd. A lot of that was old video footage of incidents that had no relationship at all to George Floyd at all. A lot of things being whipped up on social media, John, a lot of fake news, a lot of false information, conspiracy theories. Yeah. Did you think that is really fanning the flames here?
I think there's an extremely bad reporting in this country, and the BBC is at the forefront of that. And they only choose what they want to show, but never the positive side of it. Mm. They don't ask the pertinent questions either. You know, why did this happen? We haven't seen anything about this. You know, we now have a so-called martyr put on a plinth. But it was effectively a criminal. And then we know that once the sort of demonstration starts, that there's going, my fear was that I knew that once these demonstrations started, you could see it coming, that it was going to be violence. And of course, what we're getting now, we now have a group trying to take down Churchill's statue. But as you say, you know, it's a very difficult situation, but you can't allow this to continue, because more and more people will be injured, looting and whatever else. It's a very difficult situation.
I sent you a picture there. I don't know if you can see it on your chat there. It's a lot of people in Carmarthen sitting down with placards alongside the Thomas Picton monument, and they, you know, there are some children there. They look like relatively normal people from Carmarthenshire. What do you think is that drives them? That the sign is silence condones systemic violence. It says silence condones systemic violence. They're all there. They're sitting there on one knee, taking the knee, as they say, alongside Picton Monument, which is around about 20 odd meters high, I believe. Do you think that these people are genuinely misinformed, misguided, or, as you say, do you think that they are just people who are stoking the flames to get this debate going, and something that you would quite happily partake in and add your side to the story too?
No, I think they are misinformed. They do not understand the history. I'm not condoning certain things that have happened in the past, but they were people of their time, right? But to sit in on Picton's monument, that monument does not just, you know, commemorate Picton. It commemorates the Welshmen who served themselves and were lost in the war to free Europe at that time. We forget that we freed Europe on that occasion. And many Welshmen were lost serving in other British regiments, as well as the 23rd Regiment of Foot.
So
the Welsh Fusiliers, the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. Let me say, the 23rd Regiment of Foot served at Corunna. They were in the Peninsular War. They were at Waterloo. And these were Welshmen fighting for the freedom of Europe. And to sit on a monument which not only commemorates Picton, but those very men who gave their lives to free Europe.
One could argue, John, that if they want to go after these people as they identify them, then essentially they're going after the whole British establishment, the colony, Britain itself, really, because...
Well, effectively, that is exactly... If you look at the news now, and I'm picking up a lot of stuff coming in, that's not on our mainline news, right? This is stuff coming on Facebook and whatever else. Apparently, Baden-Powell now, his statues have been removed for safety, because they want to attack Baden-Powell, who set up the Scout movement. Now, Baden-Powell, yes.
Robert Peel, the police.
Where do we stop? We
want Sun, to the editor of The Sun.
There's another one. you've got Winston Churchill, who is now classified as a racist. Winston Churchill, actually, who was in the last charge of the British cavalry, well, one of the last charges, I should say. What was this, 1898 or something, and that battle effectively brought about the beginnings of the end of slavery in the Sudan. We forget that many of these campaigns, which was all about ending slavery, and in this case the Battle of Omdurman brought that about by defeating the Muslim army in Sudan. Churchill then becomes the leader of the British nation in the Second World War. We know that if we had lost that war, everybody would have been put into slavery by Hitler. And we're talking everybody, Africa, the world. If he had taken the world, you know what his plan was.
Yeah.
Now, Churchill was instrumental in stopping that. Now, he should be revered for that by all nations.
We know
what have we got? We have a cabal of people, usually on the left wing, who just want to destroy that image and that certain person. He may have made his mistakes in the past, but usually they are blown out of all proportions and nobody takes into consideration
We know that you're quite knowledgeable on history. You know that the Community Heritage Group is quite knowledgeable and that you've done a lot of work around Llanelli, Carmarthenshire, and identifying, you know, people who deserve almost their place in history to be commemorated. Will that approach change now, do you think, with community organisations like yourselves, historic groups, heritage groups? Do you think now that they're going to think long, hard, look at everything and say, do you know what, it's not worth putting a blue plaque here for this person? There's a tenuous link to slavery.
Well, you're quite right. You know, maybe we should be looking at our Trafalgar panel, you know. And the blue plaques, is there some link to slavery and we'll have to remove that? Because what I'm seeing, though, the links are so tenuous now to the degree where really it expunges all our history.
Yeah.
And this is the frightening issue here. And actually, I think this is the way it's going.
And almost that we're going to be left with these freedom fighters, these people who are sort of, as you've seen on TV, gathering en masse and tearing down our history, albeit, you know, some of it might be a bit questionable. But are we going to put monuments up to them, their leaders?
Oh, well, that'll be the next thing then. Let's rip all our history down and we'll put the history, you know. Let's change it all. What the hell, you know? I think this is the thin end of the wedge. And actually something has got to be done now. Because what I can see, if you look at the list, well, in fact, some wag put up, well, maybe we should consider removing the pyramids in Cairo.
Mm.
Now, are there links to slavery there? You know, the Egyptian archaeologists would argue that the men who put those pyramids up were actually paid. And I know for a fact that they were paid workers and very skilled workers because I've been to the archaeological sites. But you see what I mean? It's these tenuous links. Yeah. But personally, I think you should be learning from this history. We're getting is a destructive element. Well, we just want to expunge it.
I'm on a website now, John, and just give me your views on this. The website is Topple the Racists, and at the bottom, it's Stop Trump Coalition. Add a statue or monument to the map. We believe the statues and other memorials to slave owners and colonialists need to be removed so that Britain can finally face the truth about its past and how it shapes our present. Click a marker on the map to see more historical detail and link to local petitions. As we said earlier, we referred to this, alluded to the colonialism, really. It does seem that the issue here is with our historic colonization of other countries. Do you think now, and looking at, you said about lefties on there and so on, we've got the Stop Trump Coalition, is this an educated, is this a genuine cause here? We don't seem to see these people. They're masked, they're hidden, they're behind the keyboard. Do we have a right to know who these people are, see who they are, who's leading this?
I think we do need a right. We need a right to know who these people are. But say, bringing in that question about slavery, it is very interesting to know that there were no white people in the center of Africa when all these slaves were being taken from the center of Africa to the coast, the west coast and the east coast. Yeah. Now, can you tell me who was doing that?
Well,
this is a proven historical fact.
It says here that this map is a Stop Trump Coalition project in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and the topplers of Edward Colston. And it was inspired by the direct action taken by Bristolians. It's incredible wording, really, isn't it?
Well, yes. But they don't understand what was slavery. Well, how did slavery come about? What happened, all right, is that in the center of Africa, and I have actually been studying this quite recently, in Central Africa, you had Arab slavers with the very strong African tribes. And don't forget, the African tribes were constantly attacking the weaker tribes, taking slaves, cattle, grain, goats, you name it. Invariably, they would always take the women and children, maybe kill all the men, right? Now, this was a general trend in Central Africa at this time. We're talking 17 to 1800s, and it goes way back.
Yeah. On the Picton Memorial, it says, a needle commemorating Sir Thomas Picton, famous for his brutality in Trinidad and involvement with the slave trade. Would you agree with that?
No. Totally wrong, totally misinformed, absolutely ridiculous. And if you'd read that article that was done by a certain person who knows his stuff, it is absolutely ridiculous. And this is the problem. You see, the media and people using social media can put these facts out and people take it as rote, as real.
There's a piece on here about the memorial.
Picton was vindicated in this particular case in history. And that this has already happened. Don't forget, this has already happened in Carmarthen some years ago, where they tried to remove his portrait in Carmarthen. And he was vindicated then because there was no historical proof for it. So all this movement by people about Picton is absolutely unfounded.
It's hard.
But let me get back to the slave trade. The slave trade in Central Africa, I know of a war. I was brought up in Northern Rhodesia, in British Central Africa. We know that Livingstone was calling for the British government to stop the slave trade in Central Africa. And it was done by Arabs and Africans taking the slaves. And a slave caravan, which had been heading to the coast. And what they would do, the caravan would carry the ivory, which they wanted taken to the coast. There would be up to 1,200 to 1,500 slaves in that caravan, mainly women and children. Not many men survived because they were usually killed. And they would be taken to the coast. By the mid-1880s, that was mainly to the East Coast. And don't forget, we were fighting since 1807. Britain had been fighting to abolish and stop the slave trading. But all this trading came out of the center of Africa. But there were no white men there to actually bring those slaves to the coast. So all this talk, funny enough, I'm digressing here, but I was actually at the British Empire and Commonwealth Museum when they were, that during that period where Bristol were giving their apologies for the slave trade. And I mentioned to a BBC archivist who was sitting next to me, I said, surely shouldn't the Arabs and the Africans be apologizing for this as well? And she agreed with me because they'd just done a documentary where they had taken a British actor, African actor, British African actor into Botswana and Zambia, and they had traveled up into the Copperbelt, and they had followed the slave routes, because you can see them because of the Alala palms. Those, of course, they were eating the dates. The Arabs were eating the dates. Now, some historians disagree with this and say they are wildlife routes. But then there are others which have actually proved that these were slave routes and they were dropping the dates. I have seen the slave trees in Broken Hill, or what is now Kabwe in Zambia. And I've seen the tree in Indola. And what they would do, they would gather the slaves there. Now, this is practically smack in the middle of Africa. Right, and we are being told that we were the ones doing this all. So, and I said, when I said to her, there should have been an apology from the African states and the Arab states.
Yeah.
She quite agreed with me. And then on top of that, she said, the actor involved who had the same sentiments as we are discussing now of the people who are doing all this, he actually turned around when he had spoken to quite a few old Africans in the Copperbelt area. Who remembered their parents talking about the slavery.
Yeah.
He said the whites weren't even mentioned.
Yeah.
Because it was all about the Arab and African tribes.
But you could draw,
there were three strong African tribes.
you could draw an analogy.
I could go on all day, Alan.
You could draw an analogy really to something that's happening today in the modern sex slave and human trafficking, which, as you say, it's not a particular person. It's not like somebody from Britain or somebody.
As we sit here now, there are people in this country being sex slaves.
That's right.
By a certain group of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is happening now in this country.
Yeah, they won't be commemorated, but more often than not, they won't either be caught, will they?
Yeah.
But John, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'll get some of this online, and we'll try and gather some other views about what could be the toppling of the Picton Memorial, a 20-odd metre high.
Hang on a second. We're talking Churchill will be gone next. All we'll have left in that square then. I would say probably Jan Smuts might go as well. Who else? There's a couple of other statues there. They'll probably go. And we'll be left with Nelson Mandela and Gandhi in Westminster Square. Here we are. And that's Britain today.
We'll have to rename it. It can't be Westminster Square, surely.
Well, I think Nelson Square, Nelson Mandela. and I think they would like to get rid of Nelson as well.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, John.
Okay. Thanks. Alan. Pleasure. Bye.